If you have your Bibles this morning, turn with me, please, to the book of Chronicles, 2 Chronicles. It's where we're going to begin this morning. 2 Chronicles, chapter number 6. 2 Chronicles, chapter number 6. Let's stand this morning in reverence to the reading of God's Word, if you would, please, and you're able, stand with me. The Bible said in 2 Chronicles chapter 6 and verse number 12, "And he stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the congregation of Israel and spread forth his hands. For Solomon had made a brazen scaffold of 5 cubits long, and 5 cubits broad, and 3 cubits high, and set in the midst of the court, and upon it he stood, and he kneeled down upon his knees before all the congregation of Israel, and spread forth his hands towards heaven. And he said, O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in the heaven, nor in the earth, which keepeth covenant, and showeth mercy unto thy servants that walk before thee with all their hearts. Thou which hast kept with thy servant David my father that which thou hast promised him, and spakest with thy mouth, and hast fulfilled it in thine hand, as it is this day." If you would, turn back to 2 Chronicles chapter 1 with me for just a moment. 2 Chronicles chapter 1. I'd like to read a passage of Scripture here. And hopefully, prayerfully, be a blessing to you today. In chapter 1 of 2 Chronicles, in verse number 7, "In that night did God appear unto Solomon, and said unto him, Ask what I shall give thee. And Solomon said unto God, Thou hast showed great mercy unto David my father, and hast made me to reign in his stead. Now, O Lord God, let thy promise unto David my father be established, for thou hast made me king over a people like the dust of the earth in multitude. Give me now wisdom and knowledge, that I may go out and come in before this people. For who can judge this thy people that is so great? And God said to Solomon, Because this was in thine heart, and thou hast not asked riches, wealth, or honor, nor the life of thine enemies, neither yet hast asked long life, but hast asked wisdom and knowledge for thyself, that thou mayest judge my people over whom I have made thee king. Wisdom and knowledge is granted unto thee, and I will give thee riches and wealth and honor, such as none of the kings have had that have been before thee, neither shall there any after thee have the like." If correctly read, that's verse 7 down through verse number 12. You can be seated. Please pray with us and pray for us. Our Father, we want to thank you this morning for the privilege to be in the house of God. Lord, we want to thank you this morning that we know that you're watching. We know that you're listening. God, I pray you'd make your people a blessing to one another and a blessing to thy precious Son. And Lord, I pray that you'd make the preaching of the Word of God today real in our hearts and in our lives. Father, I don't know exactly, who may need this message today, but I figure at some point in time, God, all of us will. And I pray, Lord, that you'd give us enough wisdom to hide it away in our heart. God, to realize, our Lord, that, Lord, you're trying to help us in these days. Lord, would you help our country? Would you help our leaders? Would you help us some way, our Lord, to return to the God of our fathers? Would you help us, our Lord? And God will give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. How many have studied the Bible enough to know how Solomon's life ended up? How many knows how that he ended up? I want to preach a message today by the grace of God and with the help of God on this subject, the journey from wisdom to wayward. The journey from wisdom to wayward. I thought I knew what the definition of wayward was. I mean, and I thought I knew pretty well what it was talking about. But when God put this in my heart, I just looked it up. And the definition of wayward means to follow one's own capricious, wanton, or depraved inclinations. Ungovernable. A wayward child, like a wayward child. And then it means following no clear principle or law. Unpredictable. Can I tell you, beloved, today, listen, we're talking about a man that had greater wisdom than probably any man that's ever been born. God granted it to him. But he didn't finish well. And I want you to know today that there's no guarantee that any of us will finish well. If we started at Calvary and we started with the new birth, I promise you this, we started well. And that is the only starting place for the Christian life, amen, is being born again. Not of a corruptible seed, but of an incorruptible seed, the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. But Solomon, some way or another, he ends up in that he's following no clear principle or law, and he's unpredictable. I want you to think about what's going on in our country for just a moment, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time here. But beloved, lawlessness is prevailing in many places. Listen to me. I wouldn't have had to worry about a police officer when I was a young'un. My daddy would have killed me if he had just caught me stealing a piece of chewing gum, let alone carrying 10 steaks stacked up and daring somebody to do anything about it. Amen. And so we're living in a generation where there are a lot of wayward people. They just have no governing about their spirit at all. And I believe that God wants to speak to our heart today and help us to understand, number one, it's the grace of God, it's not you, and the grace of God, it's not me. But number two, to just give us a warning and help us to understand that it doesn't matter if we've been serving the Lord 5 years or 50 years. The Word of God said that Solomon, he ruled over the people of Israel for 40 years. And beloved, listen, I've said this before. No one's going to remember how Pastor started, but they're going to remember how he finishes. Brother Jack, years ago, you all know how he went home, and he went home suddenly. Amen. But you remember how he finished. Many of you have told me you remember him in the pulpit, and you remember his stand for the Lord. Amen. And what a blessing that is. I want to call your attention to a couple of things this morning. First, on the positive note, and then we'll switch over and look at the journey from wisdom to wayward. Solomon's great father. In 2 Chronicles here, we read in chapter number 1, and that night did God appear unto Solomon. I want you to understand this, beloved. Listen, it's important to understand this. Solomon is where he is, not because Solomon is somebody, but because Solomon's father is somebody. The God of heaven initiated this. And that's why Solomon later is saying, as we read about in the prayer, as we talked about last week, he's got his hands stretched towards heaven. There's no God like thee. Solomon is thanking God that God visited with him and God spoke to him. And by the way, beloved, it would warm our hearts and cause us to want to praise him if we would remember that he visited with us and he spoke to us. Amen. And it amazes me that the likes of him
would speak to the likes of us, amen, and help us along the way. In Solomon's, the writing here in Chronicles, that night God appeared to Solomon, and he said, "Ask what I shall give thee." Beloved, this looks like a blank check. God's handing Solomon a blank check and saying, "Fill it in," amen. I want to ask you something today. If he handed you a blank check, what would you write on the line? Beloved, I tell you, Solomon looked at the people of Israel. What did the Word of God say? It said they're like the dust of the earth in multitude. And, you know, Brother Aaron, even raising a family, brother, they're not maybe like the dust of the earth, but when you've got a bunch of children, you've got a bunch of grandchildren that God's made you responsible for, beloved, we need wisdom. We need help from God. We can't do this on our own. And listen, our church is not the biggest church around, but I do need wisdom. I need God's help, amen, to direct the people of God, amen. And Solomon had sense enough to know that. And I believe God, listen, was very pleased with Solomon's answer. And because God said, listen, I'm not just going to give you wisdom, but I'm going to pile all that other stuff on too that maybe you didn't ask for, but you're going to need, amen, in order to build the house and in order to build the house of God that I want you to build. We see Solomon's great father. The presidency, this was written by Hugh Sidney, a political columnist years ago. The presidency to this day rests more on the character of the person who inhabits the office than on anything else. The founding fathers designed it that way. It was their idea to find a man in America with a great character and let him invest the tradition and shape a national character. They found George Washington. He did this job splendidly. When he took the presidency, he wrote, "I walk on untrodden ground. There is scarcely any part of my conduct which may not hereafter be drawn into precedent." Think about that. He understood the magnitude of the office of being the President of the United States. And I believe Solomon understood the magnitude of the office of being King of Israel. And he realized, "I can't do it. God, I have to have some help." And Sister Joy, help is on the way. Amen. For Solomon. And he understands that. And he knows that. I want you to think about not only Solomon's great father. Solomon had a great father in two ways. David was a great man. You know, it's a shame really. But when we say the name David, almost immediately, I think for most people, they think of that incident. Listen, where he looked and he lusted and he sent for. But I'm going to tell you something right now. Psalm 51 is real. Listen to me. If you don't hear anything else I said this morning, David repented. And listen to me, God forgot it. You read your Bible, beloved, and when God's going to mention David, he never mentions it. Amen. Woo, glory to God. Aren't you glad there's some things in our life that because we've repented and we turned to God and said, "Oh God, forgive me," and we're brokenhearted, aren't you glad that God will never remember it against us again? Think about Rahab. Every time in the Word of God that you find Rahab's name, you find Rahab the harlot, Rahab the harlot, Rahab the harlot. But when you get down to the genealogy of Jesus in Matthew chapter 1, you don't find Rahab the harlot. It's just Rahab. Aren't you glad he leaves off some things? They get under the blood, amen, and they're forgiven. David had a wonderful earthly father, Solomon had a wonderful earthly father in David. But Solomon also had a wonderful heavenly father. When David found out that he was not going to be able to build the house of God, instead of sulking and pouting, he said, "Well, if I can't build it, I'm going to get the stuff together so my boy can." Amen. I tell you, a lot of people, beloved, listen, if they can't do exactly what they want to do, they're not going to do anything. God help us. Amen. There's something for every child of God to do for the glory of God, every one of us. Solomon's great father, a father in heaven, a father on earth. I said for years I was privileged to have two wonderful fathers, a heavenly father and an earthly father. My dad, I've told this before, one thing I miss greatly is the afternoon, Sunday afternoon phone call. Without fail, Brother Larry. Son, what'd you preach on this morning? I miss that. I would give my dad the Reader's Digest condensed version. I'd tell him in maybe 2 or 3 minutes what I preached on, and I'd get off the phone, Miss Eve, say, how come it took you an hour to say that this morning? Amen. Yeah, I had to put up with that. Amen. Amen. She has to put up with a lot more than I do. Y'all already know that, don't you? But I'm telling you, if you have a wonderful heavenly father and you have a wonderful earthly father, you're blessed. Brother Don, I can't wait to meet your dad. I hear things about him. And I just know. How many of you had a good dad? Amen. I used to tell the men in prison, I'd preach it hard. Anybody can lay down with a woman and get her pregnant. It takes a real man to be a daddy, to be a father. And David was a good father to Solomon. The second thing I want to bring to your attention today, not only Solomon's great father, but Solomon's great faith. We look first at the object of Solomon's faith. The Word of God said in 1 Kings, we read it a while ago in Chronicles, and Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the congregation of Israel, and he spread forth his hands towards heaven, and he said, Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee. Listen to me. Listen to me carefully. Solomon's faith, though he had an earthly father that was a good father, the object of Solomon's faith was his heavenly father, the God of heaven. We're not supposed to put our faith in the church or our faith in the pastor. We're supposed to put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The object of his faith was the Lord God of Israel. And he said, there's no God like thee in heaven above. Listen, not only do you see in his great faith the object of his faith, but he reveals the obedience that this faith, this great faith brings in his life. In 1 Kings 7 and 51, so was ended all the work that Solomon made for the house of the Lord. And Solomon brought in the things which David his father had dedicated, even the silver and the gold and the vessels that he put among the treasures of the house of the Lord. Beloved, I heard this statement years ago. It's worth repeating. If you believe right, you'll behave right. When the object of our faith is the Lord Jesus, and we put our faith in the God of heaven, it will cause us to want to be obedient to the God of heaven. You know what the Bible said in the book of James? Faith without works is dead, being alone. Now, I don't know about you, but I wouldn't want to put my confidence in a faith that does not work to take me to heaven. Amen. Beloved, listen to me. If a person can't go to church, that's one thing. If a person won't go to church, that's another thing. And you tell me why that you would trust a faith that won't take you to the house of God to take you to heaven. I don't understand that. Amen. Beloved, I'm going to say this. Nobody had to tell me when God saved me where I belonged on Sunday morning, where I belonged on Sunday night, where I belonged in the revivals and on Wednesday night. It was a place that I wanted to be. Anybody there this morning? Amen. A place I desired to be. Now I want to give you this. We've looked at Solomon's great father, the journey from wisdom to wayward, that place where he's following no clear principle or law, that place where he's unpredictable. Let's look now, thirdly in the message, at Solomon's great failure. I think that most if when I say that, I think that most people would probably jump down to, I think it's chapter number, 1 Kings chapter number 11, I believe is where that text is. Let me look here and see. It is. Where the Bible said here, But King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, the Zidonians, and Hittites. I think that most people in their mind, if you talked about Solomon's great failure, would jump to right there. But God has taught me something. Beloved, listen, Solomon's, we're going to talk about that in just a moment. But Solomon's great failure is not a result of what's going on in chapter number 11. Solomon's great failure is not a result of something that he's doing. Solomon's great failure is a result of something that he's failing to do. Can I say this to you this morning? Let me turn to 1 Kings chapter 10, please, just a moment. 1 Kings chapter 10, and let me see if I can give this to you the way the Lord helped me with it. In 1 Kings chapter 10 and verse number 1, Solomon is being paid a visit by the queen of Sheba. And she heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord. She came to prove him with hard questions. She heard how wise that this man was. And she came to Jerusalem with a very great train, with camels that bear spices and very much gold and precious stones. And when she came, when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. And Solomon told her all her questions. There was nothing hid from the king which he told her not. And when the queen of Sheba had seen all of Solomon's wisdom and the house he had built, and the meat of his table, and the sitting of his servants, and the attendance of his ministers, and their apparel, and the cupbearers, and his ascent, which he went up to the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. She was just absolutely overwhelmed at his answers, what she was hearing, what she was seeing. Watch what the Word of God said. And she said unto the king, "It was a true report that I heard in mine own land of thy acts and thy wisdom. Howbeit, I believed not the words until I came, and mine eyes had seen it." And this is a famous saying, "Behold, the half was not told me." In other words, she couldn't believe the half that she was hearing. And now she sees, and she said, "Listen, they didn't even tell me half." Can I tell you this? I believe there's an application here. Preachers try to stand in the pulpit, and they try to tell you about a place where the streets are pure gold, and the gates are pearl, and the walls are jasper, and there's no need for the sun, because the Lord God and the Lamb are the light of the city. They try to tell you about a place where there's no more pain. There's no more sorrow. There's no more cemeteries. I was at the cemetery the other day with Sister Kim's family. Sister Tracy's back there this morning. And I've never seen one of these except in Damascus, Virginia. That's where most of my people are buried up there. But right there was a big old plate in the ground that said Vinoy. I told Sister Kim, "That ain't me." But it will be one day. It will be. We have an unusual name. You don't see many of them in the cemetery. But one day, if Jesus don't come and take me out of here in the rapture, that's where I'm going. Amen. Brother Herman Anderson used to say, "Whether it's by way of the clods or by way of the clouds, I'm going to be with Jesus." But preachers try to stand, and they try to tell you about that bride, that city. They try to tell you, beloved, listen, about the river, about the tree of life. They try to tell you, beloved, listen, that there's no more sin in that place. Amen. There's no more temptation in that place. They try to tell you about a glorified body likened to the Son of God. But Brother Larry, I have this suspicion that when people step off in glory, they'll say, Pastor, the half was not told us. The half, Pastor, you tried. You tried. You tried. John, you tried. But you didn't tell us the half of how wonderful this place is. I want you to see something. I'm talking about Solomon's great failure. She said, howbeit, I believed not the words until I came. Mine eyes had seen it. Behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard. Happy are thy men. Boy, wouldn't it be good to live in America where people are happy again? Happy are thy men. Happy are these, thy servants, which stand continually before thee, and that hear thy wisdom. You say, Pastor, how could somebody be happy being a servant? Honey, I'm going to tell you what, if you haven't learned how to be a servant of the living God, you don't know anything about happiness. That's where the joy is. We don't belong to ourselves. We've been bought with a price. We belong to Him. Then the Bible said, Blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighted in thee, to set thee on the throne of Israel, because the Lord loved Israel forever. Watch this. Therefore made He king to do judgment and justice. Solomon's great failure doesn't start in chapter number 11. It starts in chapter number 10 when he's failing to fulfill the purpose and the plan of God's life. The Word of God said it like this, I believe it was in James, Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is, does anybody know the word? Sin. Oh, you say, Pastor, I never thought about it like that. Well, it's still true. You think about this for just a moment. I think it's 2 Samuel chapter 11. I believe it is. Where in the year that the kings went forth to battle, the Word of God said, David tarried still at Jerusalem. When you want to think about David's failure, beloved, listen, it doesn't begin with his eyes. It begins with his heart. He's not out there with his men the way that he should be. He's omitted that God had planned for his life. Listen, I'm concerned about this generation. They can take church or leave it. They can take their Bible or leave it. They can take prayer or leave it. They can take telling somebody about Jesus or leave it. They don't have to do it. Amen. But God wants us to understand the journey from wisdom to wayward doesn't start with commission. It starts with omission. Somebody said this years ago, you think about this. I had my wife's car, I guess you call it a tune-up, but basically all you can do to the thing is put plugs in it. But it helped it. We noticed it was missing a little bit when it was idling. And somebody told me years ago, said, you know, when a car goes to missing, said you better, you know, be looking into it because it ain't going to be long and it'll quit. That's about the way God's people are. When they go to missing their Bible, go to missing their services, go to missing their prayer time, amen. Won't be long, they'll quit. Then when they quit, that's when this journey really picks up, headed towards wayward. I've been amazed down through the years how that you can take two families going through the same trial, let's just say for an example, both families, maybe they lost a child. And one family, you see them in the altar. They never miss a service. They're brokenhearted. But they grow in grace and knowledge. They walk through a valley. Sometimes it's years. But when they come out on the other end of that valley, the Bible said, when thou hast tried me, I shall come forth as gold. And here they come, beloved, shining for the glory of God. Want to know why? They didn't give in to that omission. They didn't quit. They kept going. You say, Pastor, do you ever not feel like going? Hello? You want me to lie to you this morning? Listen, sometimes you just got to... Listen, did you men ever not feel like going to work? But you realize they need groceries? And they need diapers? And we need an electric bill? And we need a car payment? And you go on anyway. I'm going to tell you something right now. Our Lord is worthy of us going on anyway. One day, we'll step off on heaven's bright shore and we'll be glad we did. We'll be glad we did. Solomon's great failure, beloved, begins when he's no longer as king doing the judgment and the justice that God had planned for his life. I want to bring you to the last thing in the message today. Now we are going to be in chapter number 11. And that would be Solomon's great foolishness. The failure was omission. The foolishness was commission. Let me say this to you. How many of you ever heard somebody make this statement? Most of the time, it's made of an old-timer, if you know what I'm talking about. Brother Don, I know you've heard it. May have been said about your dad. I didn't know your dad or his character, but how many's ever heard somebody say, well, there just ain't no foolishness about him? How many's ever heard somebody say that? That means they didn't jest, they didn't cut up, you know what I mean, and all that. Well, there's a tremendous amount of foolishness that's going to be reflected here in Solomon's life. We're looking at the journey from wisdom to wayward. But King Solomon loved, and this is chapter 11, verse 1, many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, the Zidonians, and the Hittites, of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, you shall not go in unto them. Let me just stop here, parentheses, because it's not being preached in this generation. The believer ain't got no business marrying an unbeliever. That's in the New Testament. God told us not to be unequally yoked together. Amen. And it's asking for trouble. Sometimes it works out. Many times it doesn't. But it doesn't matter in the beginning. It's going against what God said in His Word. Solomon, in all of his wisdom, is not ignorant. He knows what God said concerning the Moabites and the Ammonites and the Edomites and the Zidonians. He knows that God said, don't go over there and don't allow them to come over here and hook up with them. Amen. Solomon's not ignorant. He's willfully now going down this foolish road. I want to say a couple of things here. The Bible said in verse number 3, and he had 700 wives and princesses, or 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines. And his wives just fell in love with God. I mean, what it says, is it? His wives weren't going to leave their God. Their only hope was to turn his heart away from the God of heaven. Beloved, I'll say this. The cults in our land, you know who they prey on? They don't go down to the bar room. they look for people that have been, most of the time, many times, actually saved. But they're babes in Christ. And so they want to pull their heart away. Away from the Scripture. Away from the truth. You think about what's going on here, beloved. It's reflected in his character. D.L. Moody said, character is what we are in the dark. God has put it out here in the Scripture. All of this Old Testament is written for our admonition, for our learning. God is saying, Pastor Vinoy, God is saying, Brother Wayne, God is saying, Brother Rose, God is saying to the ladies and to the gentlemen and to the teenagers in the house today, listen, pay attention. Just because you start right, don't mean you're going to end right. Pay attention. It started with omission, and now we see the sin of commission. For it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. Beloved, it's reflected in his character. I believe it was John Wooden, he was a former coach at UCLA. He said, be more concerned with your character than your reputation. Your character is what you really are, while your reputation is what others think you are. Think about that for just a moment. I'm sure that in Israel, there were a lot of people that thought Solomon was the same old Solomon. He had a good reputation. But beloved, his character is going down the tubes. His heart is being turned away from the Lord God of Israel. There are a lot of things in the world that turn us away. Money has turned a lot of people away. Fame has turned a lot of people away. Women have turned a lot of people away. I remember years ago, help me, Jesus, with my memory just a moment. Brother Don, you can help me. Pastor Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Brother Gene Lastly, thank you, Brother Don. It came to me. Brother Gene sat at dinner with me. And this is what he said. He said, Brother Vinoy, he said, if you can preach a lick, you can make it in the ministry. If you can keep your hands clean. Just a couple of areas. He said, the first area is women. And the second area is money. There's a lot of things, beloved, in this world. And what Slewfoot's trying to do is pull hearts away. He don't want us dedicated to the Lord. He wants to pull our hearts away. It was reflected in his choices. In light of the Queen of Sheba's visit, beloved, you think about what she thought of Solomon versus what's going on now. The Word of God said in Lamentations, mine eye affecteth mine heart because of all the daughters of my city. In the book of Lamentations, the eye is being affected for good. The heart is being affected by the eye for good. And now Solomon's heart is being affected for evil. It's reflected in his character. It's reflected in his choices. His foolishness is then reflected, beloved, in his children. After the death of King Solomon, that would have been somewhere around 930 BC, the kingdom split into a northern kingdom, which retained the name of Israel, and a southern kingdom called Judah. It allowed Rehoboam to reign. Even though he was not doing that which was right in the sight of God. Why? Because of the Davidic covenant, the covenant that God had made with David. I say to you, Solomon's divided heart led to a divided kingdom. And I want you to think about this morning. God wants us to have a heart for Him. God wants us to remember how we started. When I came to Jesus that night, I was helpless. I was hopeless. I couldn't help myself. And I believed that he could help me. And guess what he did? He saved me. But I had to get to a place where I had to trust him, depend upon him. I could not do anything to fix it myself. The Word of God said, let every man that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. I believe, listen, that there are many people sitting right here today that pray for this pastor. I talked to another pastor this morning. I talked to Brother Ralph Owens. He said, Brother Vinoy, I've already prayed for you this morning. It's humbling to think of the people that pray for us. But I tell you this, if you knew what the enemy is trying to do to churches in this generation, I believe you'd pray more fervently. I believe you'd pray more often. If you knew what the enemy was trying to do to pastors in this generation, I believe we'd pray more fervently. I believe we'd pray more often. If you knew what the enemy is trying to do to homes, Brother Preston, I admire your home. Thank God for your home. But we have an enemy. And we're not exempt. Brother Michael, he'd love to just destroy our home. He'd love to destroy the house of God. Let every man that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. They had turned their hearts. Ashtaroth was the Phoenician goddess of love. Malcolm, the national idol of the Ammonites. Chemosh means to subdue, the powerful, the god of the Moabites. And then Molech was the chief deity of the Ammonites. And Solomon's heart has been turned from the God of heaven to the gods, little g, plural, of this world. Now I want to ask you something. If that could happen to the wisest man that's ever lived, would you and I not be wise to at least consider that could happen to us? Help me this morning. I read this, and I'll close with this today. I know that when a pastor sometimes preaches, and it's kind of like God is just sounding a warning. Sometimes it's not well received. Dr. J. Wilbur Chapman, he told of a distinguished minister, Dr. Howard from Australia, who preached very strongly on the subject of sin. That's one of the things that's missing in our day. The law is our schoolmaster. You can't have grace every service. You can't have love every service. You can't have mercy every service. There's got to be a balance. Just yesterday, Brother Randall, I noticed that I had taken the battery maintainer off of the battery for my camper, and so I hooked it back up. Anybody knows anything about a battery knows that it's got two terminals on it. Now, if I hooked the positive terminal up and didn't hook up the negative, that maintainer ain't going to do nothing. If I hooked the negative up and didn't hook the positive up, that maintainer ain't going to help that battery a bit. What I'm trying to tell you is God said, preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Listen, he said, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. I don't have to tell you this. We're living in a generation, here's what they want. Exhort, 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 exhort. Let me clap my hands. Let me dance. Let me come in sinning and go out sinning and don't say nothing about it. Am I right or am I wrong? J. Wilbur Chapman, he said of Dr. Howard, who preached very strongly on the subject of sin. After the service, one of our church officers came to counsel with him in the study. Dr. Howard, he said, we don't want you to talk as openly as you do about man's guilt and corruption. Because if our boys and girls hear you discussing that subject, they will more easily become sinners. I got news for that person. They're born sinners. Help me. David said, I was conceived. Somebody said, if you don't believe in the sin nature, just put two babies in one crib and give them one bottle. He said, call it a mistake, if you will, but do not speak so plainly about sin. The minister took down a small bottle, and showing it to the visitor, he said, you see the label? It says strychnine. And underneath, in bold red letters, the word poison. Do you know, man, what you're asking me to do? You're suggesting that I change the label. Suppose I do. Paste over it with words, the essence of peppermint. Don't you see what might happen? Someone would use it, not knowing the danger involved, and would certainly die. So it is, too, with the matter of sin. The milder you make your label, the more dangerous you make your poison. I thank my God before I was saved, and even the 10 years I was with Rock of Ages sitting under Brother Danny Sykes, for men of God in my life that called sin, sin. That's what it is. It's not good for us. It'll destroy us. It'll take us on the road, the journey from wisdom to wayward, a place in our life where there's no governing principle, no absolutes. That's what this generation thinks. But it don't matter. I have a book. What God said is right is still right. And what God said is wrong is still wrong. If you'd steal a dime from me, you'd steal $100. Amen. May God help us today. God's given us wisdom. He saved us. Let's make sure that we stay in the road that's pleasing to Him. Amen. Finish well, Brother Wayne. Finish well. Finish well. Solomon started in an awesome manner, but he didn't finish well. May God help us. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for your people that have come this way today. We're asking you, dear Lord, today to speak to our hearts. Lord, there may be someone here today dabbling in sin. Lord, many have dabbled only to find out that it was quicksand. It took them under. They thought they could handle it, but it ended up handling them. I pray, dear Lord, today that you would help us to understand the warning. Spare our families, our fathers, spare our church. Dear God, spare our nation. I think of my grandchildren, our father, and wonder what America would look like if Jesus doesn't come. Would you help us, our Lord, to do like Moses and intercede on behalf of our country? Would you help us, our Lord, not just to sound the warning, but to heed the warning? Help us not to finish in a wayward manner. Help us to finish for Thee, bringing glory, bringing honor to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.
I'm going to have a song of invitation in just a moment. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.